find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What are you doing?
Welcome back.
Thanks.
I missed you.
I missed your musk.
I missed it. I missed your scent.
What did I miss?
What did you miss? We had Turn and Burn, right?
Talk to me.
5:30, hot Oregon Eastern Washington basketball, which had the place a buzz.
I'm assuming they won.
The tension was palpable in the air.
Didn't Oregon football lose to them once? Or was that just a close game?
No, Washington State lost to Eastern Washington.
But didn't Vernon Adams
gave Washington fits. I don't think
it was Oregon.
I know.
Am I misremembering?
I think he played Eastern Washington the first year he was here.
That's right.
But
they knocked off Washington State.
I don't remember that being it was close. I think might have been Cooper Kupp.
Oregon won 61-42.
Yeah.
Close game.
They put up points, but it wasn't like a nail biter.
Cooper Kupp had 15 catches for 246 yards.
That's right. And that was Vernon?
That was Vernon.
Vernon was on Oregon.
So he left, that was kind of the big deal, is playing his old team. And the year before that, they gave Washington fits. Washington beat him, and then they did knock off Washington State.
Didn't they beat Oregon State too?
I don't think they
played. Wrong about that?
I don't think Sacramento State beat Oregon State, but I don't remember Eastern Washington.
Yeah, Washington
them.
Beat EW 59-52 in 2014.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like they gave him fits, and that was all Bo Baldwin, who is now the offensive coordinator down at Cal.
And they did beat Oregon State in 2013, 49-46. And Oregon State was ranked in week number one, number 25.
Vernon, that was Vernon.
See, I don't remember that one for whatever reason.
They've just beaten so many teams.
Well, when they had Baldwin there, and it wasn't just, Vernon, they were cranking it out. That's a hell of a program. They're winning a lot of games.
Now, help me with this one.
What do you got?
Well, no, forget it. You know what? Forget it.
You're done?
Well, that's too sportsy. I was going to launch right into some hot sports questions, but
that is very sportsy.
I don't want to do that. I'm going to jot it down because we'll have plenty of time.
I didn't start out being sportsy. I was being sarcastic there with the hot Eastern Washington take.
Yeah, I know.
And then that led into, I'm
so excited for sports. And, who better to launch us into to sports talk than Eastern Washington?
I got a ton of positive feedback from people that were really happy that we were off early and it was Eastern Washington.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
And they won.
It was overwhelming.
The Ducks won.
Yes.
Wow.
Bol Bol had another nice Bol Bol performance.
Bol Bol, what did he have?
I'll look it up. It was better. I think he was 20-something. He had a couple nice highlights, though.
He actually had a good game.
Yeah.
Why do you say actually?
Well, the first one was very odd. And I saw some of the highlights from the Eastern Washington game, which were mostly him. And he looked more comfortable. He looked more athletic. He had a nice one. He pumped a three, pump faked, and then drove the lane, little spin move and dunk.
Damn.
Looked pretty good. It's so weird. He's so long.
How tall is that guy?
I think he's like 7'3". It's just weird to see him operating with the ball. You're not used to seeing someone that big be actually, nimble enough to handle the rock. It's strange.
It's basketball these days, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Anthony Davis used to be like a point guard.
I know. It's the weird, when then he grew like a foot.
And so he had the handles and
It's weird now. Even when you watch the NBA, right? Like Brooke Lopez and Marc Gasol and like all these guys launch.
It's a different time.
Yeah, they all just launch threes. Like Nurk hangs out there sometimes.
Nurk.
Like, it's strange.
That guy, Nurk. Well, yeah, that's too sportsy. I wanted to talk about it. Well, I want to tell you something.
All right.
Well, okay, so wait. So I missed.
I feel like you're a little discombobulated right now.
No, I'm just thinking. So we missed the big Oregon Eastern Washington pregame show.
Yes.
But you guys were on for 2.5 hours. And was Luke in here?
Luke was in here.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, he filled in.
Great. Someone needs to remind Luke to leave my read sheet.
Yeah, Rob.
He throws it away every time.
Rob was a little upset.
That's supposed to stay in here, Luke. Yeah. I appreciate you filling in.
You can print a new one, though,
I understand. It's nice when it's just right there. I
understand.
I get a little OCD about my space.
I'll see what I can do. Next time he fills in for you.
Oh, I'm going to text him.
I'll give him the heads up.
I'm going to say, hey, thanks, but...
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and need you to come on in here, but not touch my read sheet.
Well, I'm sure it was a great show.
Yeah.
Now, I am already looking forward to the day we eat turkeys and such.
Are you?
Yeah, it's on my radar.
You're a big Thanksgiving guy?
Oh, I love Thanksgiving. Are you kidding?
I give Thanksgiving two
thumbs.
That's
the best holiday of the year.
Yeah, like you guys are both Thanksgiving guys.
Is this a new take by you?
No, it's just it's a road stop on the way to Christmas.
Well, no, I get that. I mean, nothing trumps Christmas, but that doesn't mean Thanksgiving isn't great.
I think it's okay.
True story.
Yeah, you know, it's just...
Okay, wow, interesting.
It's some turkey.
Well, I just, you know...
If you gave me a big... Like, if tomorrow I came home and there was, like, a big, like, turkey feast that had been put out, it's... Yeah, I would...
You're saying like turkey, like just the food?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, we've talked about this before. None of us are huge fans of just turkey.
Yeah.
Who is? Like turkey's kind of bland.
It's all the other stuff.
Bland.
And getting together with the family.
It's the whole operation, yeah. You know, smarter than this.
Look, I'm telling you, I'm pro.
Best holiday of the year.
I don't mind. See, that's such a ridiculous take.
I can't do that.
Train to Thanksgiving Town, is there?
Well, sorry, Suk, I don't celebrate Christmas, so best holiday of the year for me is Thanksgiving.
Then take a train to Hanukkah Town. No one's going to Thanksgiving Town.
Yeah, where's the train to Hanukkah Town?
Yeah, really, that's maybe...
It's a really slow train that takes 8 days to circle back to the start.
I forget that about you, Mike. You know what? I'm sorry. You know?
Yeah, you were chastising him.
I was.
And you shouldn't, because he's just Jewish.
Yeah, he's got the Hanukkah bush. It's not
I
the same.
I do have the Hanukkah bush. I love Thanksgiving.
I've seen a few of those.
I'm trying to get myself a Hanukkah bush. Seeing what happens. Where do I get one of those?
It's not that hard, Suk.
Where do I find them?
Daggum. All right. Well, that's
what you do
turn.
Is nothing for an extended period of time, and then the Hanukkah bush is there.
Oh, I see. But there's no train to Thanksgiving Town.
No, nobody's gonna argue with you about Christmas.
All right.
But I think what you're saying is you're just saying turkey in general. It's not about the turkey. It's about the whole feast and the family. And like Mike said, it's Thanksgiving's great, and you get sports. Well, it's always on a Thursday, which is great because then nobody ever works on the Friday. So it's basically.
But we have to work on a Friday.
Well, not this year.
I know, it's the first time
because the Civil War is on Friday.
Yeah.
And we carry the Ducks now, so we're off. And you're right. We normally don't get that day. That kind of screws up our.
And it's a wicked hangover show. Everyone comes in here and they just look like hell.
Yeah. not this year.
No, I remember one year we all came in. We were all traveling. Dusty came from like Southern Oregon. I think you were out in Bend. I was coming from Skamania, and we all rolled in here in like sweatpants, and it just. Boy, I'll tell you what, the show just smelled like a hangover.
Yeah, and it was a good show, too.
It was rough.
I remember that show.
I don't think
some of my finest work.
I'm sure it was. Everyone stumbled in here about 2:55. I was like, show. No one's listening.
Who won?
It's Thanksgiving. Look, I'm not here to poo-poo on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
But the best part of Thanksgiving is that it kicks off the official start to Christmas season.
Yeah, but doesn't it feel good like when Thanksgiving gets on your radar because it is that? It's the they call it the holidays.
Yes, but here's the thing.
Christmas music is already playing. I just walked by Charlie on my way.
I know,
here.
It's a whole thing. But this is my point about Thanksgiving is we're already in Christmas mode. Like people are already playing Christmas music. There's already Christmas decorations out. We're waiting for Christmas.
Well, it is true that right after Halloween, you start watching, if you watch TV, it's instant switch to Christmas ads.
The Grinch.
Instantly.
The new Grinch movie out. Right now.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we can't stop down for a little Thanksgiving.
I'm not saying that we can't, but this is my whole point, is Thanksgiving only exists. That the only real reason that people embrace Thanksgiving is that it leads into Christmas. It's like being next in line.
That's not true.
It is true.
It's a great family meal with, as much as I don't like turkey,
dumbass.
Mashed potatoes are great. Stuffing is great. Mm. All the other stuff that
goes
into it.
Huge stuffing guy.
It's That's amazing. Cool. Pumpkin pie, apple pie, pecan pie. It's great.
Yeah. That's right.
It's all great.
Booze.
Gravy.
It's great.
Wine.
Leading into Christmas. It's what it is.
No,
it's
fine.
It's a month before Christmas.
It's a road stop on the way to Christmas Town. That's what it is. We're all on the train to Christmas Town, Mike. Get on board.
Mike, you're not going to... I mean, I'm with you 100%. But at this point, it's futile to even... fight. It's like an 8-year-old. Just let it go.
Well, after many times of having the conversation about why Suk doesn't lock his door, he does lock his door slightly more now than he used to.
He does? Did you admit that?
The front door, I suppose. When I leave, the front door gets locked.
So you're saying that our incessant chirping at him works?
Yes.
From time to time.
More of the kids that mainly just lock it. So I don't really have to, but they're door lockers.
Yeah, Suk, he's the same. He's been the same for 39 years, and it's not going to change.
You're not changing me. And Mike, just because you're Jewish doesn't mean you can't get on board Christmas Town. come on board.
Look, Christmas is a great holiday. I understand that.
Celebrate
but
it.
But even when I did celebrate it, which I did for a while, I still like Thanksgiving better.
That's cool.
It's, Thanksgiving is great.
Everyone is entitled to their opinion, Jason. Like when I said I like the weather in the valley better than the winter weather in Bend, that's you ridiculous. Got all over me. It's ridiculous. Just my opinion. It's what I think.
And it's wrong.
Well, that's fine.
Again,
cry.
Just saying.
Okay, nope. So anyway.
No train Thanksgiving town.
Luke was here.
Maybe they should be.
On Friday, and now I'm back.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you something, but I don't have time now.
Oh.
Good thing we have another segment.
Oh, yeah. And another one and another
or two.
One. And another
oh,
one.
Today, this week's going to be a little discombobulated, too. This is why Thanksgiving's kind of on my radar, is that it's kind of the time of year where things get a little topsy-turvy, you know? Think schedules start changing, people start traveling a little bit more, you know, with the holidays and such.
Yeah, vacation coming up.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you have any Thanksgiving plans, but this morning, it all just popped at our house. Like, oh, wait, what are we doing? That's next week. You know, how are we going to do this? And so this week, we've got Seahawks football and Ducks basketball on Thursday.
Yeah, everything is going to get thrown. And then possibly Friday and, as well.
Well, yeah, because you've got a this is kind of part and parcel with the holidays. You've got a Thanksgiving basketball tournament.
Is it the 2K Classic, right?
I don't know what it's called, but it's in New York, and that's where Oregon's going to be.
It is the 2K Classic.
Yeah. And they're going to play Iowa on Thursday. Yeah. And if they win, we likely won't even be around but for a few segments on Friday.
Yes, because they'll play the early game.
It's crazy.
Now, if they lose, then they'll play the late game.
They aren't losing to the Hawkeyes.
One wouldn't think.
Well, wait, wouldn't it be flipped? If they lose, they'd play the early game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So that's if they right. lose, they play at 1.
Mike is correct.
If they win, they play at 3.
Yeah, because it's East Coast.
Yeah.
My apologies.
You don't have to apologize. It's okay. It's okay. We understand.
We'll be okay.
Mistakes happen.
We'll get through this together.
Hold my hand. So what I want to tell you is I'm leaving. No. I am back, and I'm happy to be back, and I have a story to tell you from the weekend.
I like stories. Let's be storytellers. You tell stories. I tell stories. Let's be storytellers.
It involves gambling.
Ooh, even better. Love gambling.
And I'm not going to be sitting. I'll just tell you right now, I'm not going to be sitting here bragging about massive sports wins. I can tell you that.
I am intrigued now. I don't know where this story is going, but I'm on board.
Well, you know I haven't bet this year.
No, which is a little disappointing to me.
I know. Everybody says that to me.
Yeah. Why? I don't even know who you are anymore.
I know, but it's like...
You don't gamble? What?
Well, I gamble.
Are you giving up drinking too?
Don't be ridiculous.
Well,
I
would have said the same thing had you given up gambling.
Like Aylin... Well, you're kind of right, though, because we were at Aylin A not too long ago.
Nothing.
And I was in and out. I didn't, normally, I would have been like, all right, I'm staying here for... Let's seven or eight beers and
see what happens.
Try to make it a night.
But gonna pay off that Sonata. No, you didn't do it.
Just so old now. Well, anyway, I have a weekend sports gambling story to tell.
Okay.
And I think you'll appreciate it. So that's coming up. Pac-12 football is becoming quite lame. We have the state of Oregon football. What else do we have? Jimmy Butler got dealt over the weekend.
The NFL was a bizarre week.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah, it was. There were some surprises.
Well, the Bills.
Who the hell saw that coming?
My Bills.
How about the Buccaneers putting up first team ever, 500 yards of offense?
I saw that.
No touchdowns. I don't even know how that's possible.
No. You know, no team has ever. Did you see the stat on that? No team has ever put up 450 or more yards and only scored 3 or fewer points.
Yeah.
And they are the first. And they put up 500-plus yards.
It was like 503.
And they only got 3 points.
A field goal out of it. If you would have told me before the game, I would have. That's not possible that a team can have 500 yards and a field goal. That's impossible. And yet, my Tampa Bay Buccaneers found a way to do it.
Well, that's some foreshadowing because we'll have some NFL talk.
Yeah, and the Titans as well was a big shocker.
My Titans, yeah.
Your Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
Second week in a row, they look good on offense.
So a very big Monday show. We'll start with college football and what's going on at Oregon. We're going to start there, 3:15 on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Tell you what, the Better You Today text line, 55305. There are a lot of people that are agreeing with greatness over there. Mike Lynch.
Yeah, there's some people coming to defense of Thanksgiving.
About Thanksgiving. They love Thanksgiving. Hey, it's just, you know, it's personal preference. I am with the guy who says it's, Thanksgiving is warm-up. It's a pregame show for Christmas.
Exactly.
I'm with him on that. But, you know, when you're Jewish, yeah, Christmas may not mean as much. So there's a lot of people that think Thanksgiving greater than Christmas, and that's okay.
And look, there, I know this city, there's not a lot of Jewish people here. All the people texting in are not Jewish with me.
No, right, you're right, right. No, that's right. Mike's right.
A lot of people doing the trappings of Christmas.
Yeah, the present thing.
Yeah, that are getting all hot and bothered over that. I just have always believed that it's a tailgate to the game.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with tailgating.
But you know what?
But you can't tailgate without the game, thus making Christmas greater than Thanksgiving.
Well, but I would say that a lot of times the tailgate is way better than the game. I've been to many Oregon games where they win 55-10 and the tailgate was way more fun than the game. So it can happen. It's just that, you know, everybody's different, Jason. You just need to let everyone have their opinion, okay?
Oh, you can have your opinion. It's just wrong.
So anyway,
get on board to Hanukkah Town, Mike.
Well, think about
this.
That's
your fault for not making Hanukkah more festive, Mike.
Think about how we would view
Hanukkah's not even like holiday number 3 for Jewish people.
Ooh, should we play rank the Jewish holidays?
Yeah, where does Hanukkah rank?
Hanukkah's just it became bigger because it was close to Christmas, so it just got lumped in with the happy holidays kind of thing.
Yeah, can't you just combine them and do like a Hanukkahmas and just kind of make it one big sort of celebration?
I'm sure you could. I'm sure many people do that already
anyway.
Most
people do that with Look, how many there's a lot of people. Well, you are not a religious fellow.
I am not.
No, you're a heathen, unlike me, who's a man of the Lord.
Of course, yes. You should see his face. You can't say that with a straight
face. I can. I'm a man of strong faith.
I like how you didn't even finish the air cross, by the way.
I love that you're coming around to my... You know, 15 years into this, you're finally on board my train, and it's a better train. And I love that you're over here now. It's great.
Here's the thing, though. You being a heathen, uh-huh, right? Uh-huh. You don't celebrate Christmas for, like, Jesus.
No, God, no. Jesus, no.
Whatever. The Trinity, no.
Hell no.
You just celebrate Christmas because it's a wonderful celebration. It's more...
It's an American tradition.
Yes. Christmas can mean whatever you want it to mean.
It's just fun.
It's fun. It's family. It's love. It's a great
of
the year.
That's right, Jason.
It's all that. So here's the thing, Mike.
The lights.
You can celebrate Christmas without interfering with Hanukkah. Just make it a non-denominational sort of Christmas tree.
Well, just think about this. Think about how we would view mid to late November and all of December through to January without Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yes.
It's everything.
Yes.
It's everything for the next 6 to 8 weeks. It's everything
it
because
makes it.
Without it, it doesn't, like, nothing would seem, it would just be awful. Think about that. That's the beauty of both of them together.
You know what? And then maybe I have been too harsh on Thanksgiving.
I think you have.
Because you're right. It's a nice bookend. So this is where I'm willing to concede.
Mm.
Christmas, still much greater than Thanksgiving, but it's a very nice compliment. And yes, you're probably not winning a championship without Thanksgiving on board. Maybe it's the Scottie Pippen to Christmas's Michael Jordan.
Okay.
How about that?
I like that.
You're not buying Thanksgiving shoes. You're buying Air Jordans, but you know it's important to put rings on your finger. That's where Thanksgiving's at. That's what I will concede.
All right. So on to sports talk. Yeah, we're going to start with the state of Oregon football. Well, actually, we don't have to.
It's not very good.
No.
They're a very average football team.
Yeah. But let's not start there.
Okay. I thought that's
can
where
we do well, we can't. Well, just let's.
I feel like that's where you started down that
I've
road.
I've got a whole thing written
and now
down.
Now you're audibly.
No, because it'll come up.
All right, where do you want to go?
It's just that I was sitting there watching all these Pac-12 games this weekend,
mm-hmm,
and I just had the realization, and a lot of people pointed this out on social media and stuff too, because the camera guy for the Oregon-Utah game was so bad.
What? Was he on drugs?
I don't know, but it was so annoying. Is that the most annoying thing ever?
It's unbelievable. And I get it if you're playing like a triple option team sometimes, like you can get a little discombobulated. How did he not know where the ball was going? Like he was the only one in the stadium that was confused. That was some of the worst camera work I've ever seen.
Maybe it was Tyreek Hill.
It's possible.
Practicing for Sunday.
Just working the camera. Yeah, maybe he just flew out and was like he needed a little tune up.
You know, covering Pac-12 football as we have for many, many years, and seeing some years where it's really damn good. I remember a couple of years where it was better than the SEC. I think it had teams like seasoned quarterbacks and coaches. Yeah. And
I think you could. There were a lot of times we made a strong case that top to bottom, it was the best.
If not the best, right behind the SEC.
Because the SEC West was so stacked, but top to bottom, yeah, it was the second best conference. And this year,
It's just a lot of parity, you know.
Well, but parity can mean mediocrity, and this year it means mediocrity.
Well, there's no elite teams.
No, well, look, I'm not going to say that. I'll say Washington State until someone proves to me otherwise. That they beat Washington State, and I do think they're going to lose the Apple Cup. I think Washington has the recipe to beat them. Until someone knocks off Washington State, I'm going to call Washington State elite.
That's cool.
They're 9-1, and I'll put them with the other one-loss teams in the country.
No, that's fine. I think that it's all. We've talked about this before. We don't need to have a repeat discussion on it. But it's like when the Big 12, when the two teams that are in the hunt for the Big 12, it happens to be this year, Oklahoma and Texas are still in it. But West Virginia and Iowa State are in it too.
Yeah.
When West Virginia and Iowa State are the two best teams for a given year in the Big 12, you look at that as a down year because it's not the traditional powers, whether that's fair or not. The Big 12 needs Texas and Oklahoma to be good. And this year they are, and those four schools are all still alive for the Big 12 title game. But I'm just saying in years like this with the Pac-12, when it's a non-traditional power, I mean, you could get Washington State, Arizona State in the Pac-12 title game. Yep. I'm sorry, but that's going to be viewed nationally as, oh, wow, what happened to that league?
And it's the only conference, really, where there's one team, right? I mean, well, I guess you could say the ACC and Clemson.
Oh, no, that's not true. You mean one team, like, dominating?
Yeah, like, you look in across the landscape, like, outside of Washington State, there's not another team that is even remotely impressive in the Pac-12. You can't say that about the Big 12.
Yeah.
You
no,
can't
I
say
get
it
what
about the
saying.
Big 10. You can't say it about the SEC. The ACC, but even the ACC has Syracuse. Like, they're just
that's kind of funny you said that. Mike, what do you think about that? Was that funny?
It's not funny. It's great.
Syracuse is actually pretty good.
Yeah, they are good. It's just funny.
They should be undefeated.
This is what I'm saying.
The
like,
ACC
when it
has some of that, but the difference with the ACC and the Pac-12 is the ACC has Clemson, which is the second best team in the country, and that, like, to your point, you don't look at the ACC the same way and say, oh, the ACC is garbage, because you're like, well, they have Clemson.
Yeah.
Let's flip that and say that Syracuse or North Carolina State or BC or someone is on top. And I think that's what you would have from a perception standpoint. But I think the ACC and the Pac-12 right now, similar. It's just that one has a traditional power that's been good and the other one doesn't.
The Pac-12 always looks better when USC is up there.
Yes. There's going to be 9 teams, probably possibly 10, that are bowl eligible in the Pac-12. Everyone's going to be a 6-win team.
Yeah, but it's a fun – I think it's been a fun watch this year because you just never know. I mean, there's – I would say this too. We'll tease this moving forward, but – I think one team deserves a segment on our broadcast, and it's not Washington State. We've done Washington State segments. We've talked about them, and their big game is coming up. They didn't stumble against Colorado, so let's see how they do against Washington.
Well, they got Arizona first.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Is that a road game?
No, I think it's at Washington State, but let me take a look.
That's not easy, but...
No, it's at home against Arizona, and then they get... So their final two are at home. They got Arizona at home, Washington at home.
All I'm saying is we've covered Washington State. They are the talk of the Pac-12 this year.
And they should be. They've
absolutely
earned it.
And we've covered that. But what I'm saying is there is another team that deserves a segment, and it's not Washington State, in my opinion, this week anyway. And we will get to that. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Well, it's one of two teams, so I'm interested to see where you want to go with this.
Cal.
Yeah, I was going to say it was either Cal or Arizona State.
We need to talk about Cal. Yeah. Although Arizona State, probably too. But anyway, what I was saying was the Pac-12, just from watching the game, so many empty seats, even at Utah.
Yeah.
You know, you watch that Oregon-Utah game and go, man, that thing isn't full. That's not, it's supposed to be like one of the toughest places to play in the league.
Yep.
You go watch the USC game, Stanford Stadium, which is always like that. I just think that the apathy is palpable in this league. The teams aren't great, with the exception of Washington State. The officials are garbage. And then even as people were pointing out on social media, the damn broadcasts are garbage.
Yeah, you can't you can't even get the camera. Like, you're missing touchdowns.
Exactly. It's like, and so on paper, they have an excellent crop of coaches for the most part. But God, man, I got to tell you, the other leagues are way more fun to watch. I would say with the exception of ACC. So to me, it just looks like a second-rate league from on pretty much all levels. It just this year, it just looks like a second-rate league. It just, you don't see the fan fervor as much unless you go to Husky Stadium or Autzen Stadium. you just and there's all like it's a weird race. It's Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State in the South. It's just like God, their own fans don't even care.
No, it is. I'm with you on that. It feels
it's just a bad year.
It is a bad year for the conference. And then you throw in the fact like some of the controversy that you've had with Larry Scott and the officials.
But Pullman, you know, they're fired up in Pullman.
So
Washington State fans are obviously going to take this as a slight. It isn't. They're having a great year and they're fun. I think they are so fun to watch.
Yep.
In the whole Mike Leach thing with the mustache after the win.
And you had game day that came up there against Oregon and they blew the doors off of that one.
But that doesn't mean that I just had this sitting down watching all these games this weekend. I had that thought like, man, this has become quite lame. And a lot of it is just kind of fan fervor and apathy. And then you look at the broadcasts suck and Pac-12 network sucks.
I asked this question. I think I did it while you were gone. But I pointed out, me and Luke were talking about this on Friday when you were out, and I said, take Washington State out of it. Because, again, I think Washington State right now is different. They've separated themselves from the pack, which sounds so weird because this is supposed to be a rebuilding year for Washington State. They flipped it on their ear, and, you know, they're rolling right now and have, I think, a real shot if some upsets happen here. You know, finish this thing out strong and maybe get a shot at the college football playoff. Certainly they belong in that discussion, and it bothers me that more people don't talk about them that way. But you take Washington State out that out exceeded their expectations by, you know, the moon and back. Everyone thought this was a 6 or 7 win team at best. Outside of that, find me another team that lived up or even exceeded expectations.
Cal
may be the only one. And Cal, you know, for all of Cal's fervor, Cal may end up as a 6-win team. You know, they've got.
They've already won 6, haven't they?
They are. So they got Stanford. That should be a tough game.
See, they're going to beat Stanford. This is kind of what I want to. Why I want to talk about them. They're an underdog.
Yeah,
and I think the wrong team's favored.
So let's say they've got a chance. If they end up at 8 wins, then yes.
But who's their last game?
They got Colorado. They'll finish up at Colorado, which they should win.
Could win 8 games.
Colorado's a sinking ship, but. Colorado started out 5-0. They've lost 5 in a row. UCLA is warmed over garbage. Oregon went into the year thinking they could compete.
I'm going to give you 2 more. Sorry, I got to give you 2 more.
Who?
Arizona State, because of all the Herm negativity, and Arizona. Those guys are both possibly there are 3 teams left that can win the South, and they're 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that those schools. Arizona started slow, but they've come on.
So
new coach.
So you're telling me that 5-5?
Oh, believe me. Now that I won't say they're great teams. You asked, did anybody exceed expectations? And I think so. Yeah, I don't think anybody expected anything from Arizona or Arizona State or Cal, and they're pretty good. But that's exactly kind of what I'm seeing. That goes back to my point about the Pac-12 is that's the best you can point to this year outside of Washington State, and that's why it's a lame year. And it's obvious. Like, it's obvious when you just watch it.
Yeah.
USC, I think USC fans in that Cal game were hoping to lose.
Yeah.
So they could get rid of Clay Helton.
They want him gone. And I think if you pulled USC fan, I think they got 2 left, right? They've got UCLA and there's 1 other. I think USC fan is on board at this point with just losing out and getting Clay Helton the hell out of there. Yeah, they got UCLA and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, yeah.
So just
he's done.
Just finish
especially
it up.
Especially if he loses to UCLA.
And be done.
But I think he's probably already done. Anyway, the Pac-12 is just a down year, but that shouldn't take anything away from the Cougs at all. But let's see if the Cougs can finish this off. You know,
I hope that's
the other thing.
I hope they can. For the sake of the Pac-12, what I don't want to have happen is Washington State either stub their toe against Arizona or even worse, for the 3rd straight year, if the Apple Cup is for the Pac-12 North and they get alley-whipped by Washington, I think that would be a major buzzkill, not just for Washington State, but for the conference in general.
All right, we'll do a Cal segment. We'll talk about what's going on at Oregon as well coming up next. It is 3:34, and here is Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're cutting a swath through Pac-12 football, college football. That's what we're talking about. Monday afternoon. That's what we do. So the Pac-12, you know, it's not a good year.
No.
It just looks second rate. But one team that I watched this weekend that I thought needed a little love today was Cal. And this was the question that that popped into my head in the first segment, and I decided to punt and ask it later because, first segment is for hot Thanksgiving Christmas debate, not yes. sports.
Got to get to the important stuff.
And I was, because we were talking about Eastern Washington and Bo Baldwin, mm-hmm. who's the offensive coordinator at Cal. And I'm watching Cal. Why is it that that guy's good, right? Bo Baldwin, everybody loves him.
Loved him. I thought Oregon State should go knocking on his door.
Why does their offense suck?
I don't know. I think it's young. And, you know, they've been back and forth between, was it McElwain and Garbers? And feels like they've kind of settled on Garbers, maybe. But it's usually weird that normally the offense is always ahead of the defense when you're talking about rebuilds. And it just isn't the case in Cal. Cal plays some of the best defense in the Pac-12, some of the best defense in the country. They're top 20 in a lot of categories.
Their defense looks legit to me.
But their offense stinks.
But they won. They won at USC, and I thought we should give them a little love. And it's partly because I'm fond of the Wilcox family, and yes. I like Justin Wilcox. I think he does a good job down there, considering I think he's winning more games before anybody thought he would. I think.
Cal's a tough place to win.
Yeah, it's a tough place to win. And he only took over that job a couple, 3 years ago, right?
Two years. Second year.
And he's already, he's just scratching and clawing out wins, man.
Yep. It's not pretty, but they're finding ways.
He deserves a lot of credit because, and USC's kind of a mess, but God, they went into USC. They haven't won in there. They haven't won down there in 18 years.
No.
And they won. They beat them.
14 games in a row they've beaten USC. Haven't beaten them down there in 18 years. And they were down 14-0. I don't know how much of the game you watched.
Oh, I was watching it. They were down. It was 14-0 at half.
And you just, and honestly, I hate to do this, but when Cal gets down 14-0, you're like, well, that's the game.
Yeah.
Because Cal can't score. And yet they found a way. And then they had the balls to go for it to seal it. Was at 4th-and-1. And they ran it and then got the first down. And they realized they could run out the clock.
I love it.
But they have ground out wins this year by a score less against North Carolina, against BYU. Against Washington.
BYU end up any good or they suck?
Nah, BYU.
5-5.
Yeah, BYU's like average. But still, yeah. You found it and then you ground out a win against USC. You should have beat Washington State.
How did they lose by 30 to UCLA?
I don't know. That's the one that just you scratch your head. You're like, you got blown if out by didn't... UCLA.
Well, they
lost by one score to Arizona. And then Oregon pulled away from them too. So they beat
Washington. Did you mention that?
Yeah, they beat Washington. So really, Oregon took them behind the woodshed in UCLA. Outside of that, every game they've played, win and lose, has been within a score.
Well, if you think about it, if they had won the Washington State game, which they, boy, I tell you what, dude, that pick in the end zone.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They had Washington State in that game.
They had them. Well, they were at least going to take the lead with that last touchdown, but who knows what would have happened. But let's just say they win that game. They would have a four-game win streak with wins over Washington, Washington State, and USC, and two of those being on the road. I just think they need a little love.
They do. I will tell you, I love what Justin Wilcox has done down there. That is some of the most disciplined football, and he is doing the proverbial more with less.
Yep.
I mean, they
just need to recruit a little better. Yeah, they need to find a quarterback.
Look, I'm not talking at school, but look, if you talk to people that are close to that program, they'll even admit it. It's not very talented, right? There's not studs jumping off the
page.
That's
why no one expected anything.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of dudes down there, as they say, and yet they are getting the most out of it, and they are battling their ass off. And hopefully, if one of these freshman quarterbacks, again, most likely Garber, sounds like he's the guy now, if he can kind of grow and develop and they can build an offense, and they should be able to. I think Bo Baldwin is a hell of an offensive football coach. If that offense can come around and they continue to play defense like this and they recruit a little bit better, Cal's got a chance to be pretty damn good here, which would make the North very, very interesting because I love David Shaw down at Stanford. I think Oregon State is going to get better. Washington State, Washington. And it's tough. And we don't know about Oregon, but you would think the way Oregon recruits that Oregon's going to be better. Maybe here in 2-3 years, we got a chance for the Pac-12 North to be where we was a couple years ago. We talked about this as maybe the toughest division this side of the SEC East.
Well, maybe with
that would be the SEC West.
Maybe with coaching depth, that maybe part of this season, what we're seeing is a little coaching depth, right?
Yeah.
Like Washington lost to Cal. If you don't have dominant teams, you can get picked off because the coaches in this league deeper than ever. I mean, even Herm is has had some big wins. Kevin Sumlin, everybody liked that hire, and he's knocked off some teams. Josh Wilcox has knocked off some teams. Even McIntyre's knocked off some teams. So
now the question is at places like Cal now with Wilcox, and this goes for the Colorados of the world and even Washington State. Washington State's coaching staff the last couple of years has been picked apart, right? Oregon has come calling. Ohio State's come calling. Colorado got Leavitt that was plucked away by Oregon. The question is for a place like Cal is not only can you keep, let's say Cal finishes this thing, right, and goes 8-4, surprises everybody, and maybe next year builds upon that and maybe has another 8-9 win season. Can you, A, keep Justin Wilcox there, or does a place like USC come calling?
Ooh.
Or can you keep, what, DeRuiter is the defensive coordinator there who's been a head coach before. Bo Baldwin, who everyone loves as an offensive mind. I thought Bo Baldwin should have been in line for an Oregon State job. Can you keep that staff together? Is there a commitment level from your athletic program to say, no, you're not going to come pilfer our guys? Do they have the ability at Cal to do that?
Because well, if they don't.
Because that's the problem with mid-level programs when they have success is everyone comes and picks the carcass.
Washington State could lose Leach.
Yeah.
That's a very real possibility.
Well, he was gone last year. He accepted the Tennessee job. So let's say then this is the part that sucks about college football right now for the mid-level programs. Mike Leach has resurrected the Washington State program, and they've been a win away from winning the North and maybe the Pac-12 the last 2 years, right? And he was gone. If Tennessee hadn't changed their mind at the last moment and had the whole weird situation with the AD and all that, Mike Leach is coaching at Tennessee. So let's say he does finish this thing off and he goes 11-1, wins the Pac-12, whether he goes to the Rose Bowl or he goes to the college football playoff. If last year Tennessee came calling, what happens when an SEC job opens up this year or a Big 12 job? Does Mike Leach stay, or is, again, does he look at it and say, hey, I've done as much as I can do at Washington State? How about if he goes 12-1, wins the Pac-12, you know, wins and doesn't make the college football playoff? Does he look at that and say, well, my ceiling is this, and I'm going to leave for greener pastures more tools to play with?
The fact that he almost left means that it is intriguing to him to be able to go to a school with more resources. I think it would be interesting to see Leach in that type of environment, and obviously he thought that too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's. But I think doesn't this go back to the point that the Pac-12 is a second-rate league? Because when you have coaches, and I know we're talking about Cal and Washington State, so it's not like we're talking about elite SEC teams or whatever, but middle of the road or even lesser SEC schools, the bottom line is you have to pay. You have to commit to keep a good thing going. And if they don't, Justin Wilcox may be out of there just as quick as Mike Leach.
Yeah.
And you can't blame them for that. So it's on the at some point, it's on the schools. This is going to lead into what we're going to talk about with Oregon. Oregon, to me, needs an offensive coordinator change. I think Mario Cristobal needs to be honest. He needs to set aside his ego. I think all good programs need to recognize shortcomings, and that is one. And I don't think that's going to change over the next 2 weeks, these next two games or a bowl game. I think he needs to get to the offseason and be honest and set aside his ego and not worry about it being hasty or not worry about loyalty and not worry about philosophy, and he needs a better offensive coordinator. Hopefully you can find a way to keep Marcus Arroyo. Probably not, but try. What needs to happen is Oregon, if he determines that's what's best for the program, that school better step up and help him find the best guy.
Yeah.
That's what good, if you want to be a good program and be good program consistently, that's what you do. I mean, Nick Saban has switched offensive coordinators. The dude wins championships and switches coordinators.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a standard level of, I think, one, commitment from the school backing what the coach wants in other program and in other leagues that is not in the Pac-12 with some schools, not all schools, but most of the Pac-12 isn't like this. There's that level of commitment in the Pac-12 that isn't there. And you can't keep Justin Wilcox. You can't keep Mike Leach if you don't have it. So, if you're just going to keep being Pac-12, which is kind of a bad watch, if you don't.
Right now it is.
It's simple. Yeah. It comes down to dollars. You can keep these guys. You can get good coaches. You got
to
pay them.
You have to write checks. And some schools.
And they do in other conferences.
Well, and in some schools they do here, right? Oregon paid Jim Leavitt
and made him
one of the highest paid defensive coordinators this side of the SEC because they, you know, he was at Colorado. They had won the Pac-12 South, and then Oregon came calling. And Leavitt looks at it and says, well, I'm making twice as much. I'm going to be able to recruit better. I've got better facilities. So there are schools that are willing to do that. The question is, will the rest of them fall in line? Or does the bad TV deal, the lack of revenue, the lack of sponsorship, the lack of ticket sales, do all those things come into play where Pac-12 schools aren't willing to write checks, not just for head coaches, but are they willing to write million-dollar checks for coordinators? Well, because around the country, if you want a top-flight coordinator now, the bidding starts at around 800 grand right. And it goes up.
Well, Levitt makes what?
I think
1.2.
Yeah, million and a half.
And their
there.
Defense is, by the way, he makes $1.2 million
a
year.
Not good enough right now.
Their defense is ranked 75th in the nation.
Yes, and their defense wasn't very good.
Let's come back and talk about this because this is my point. Their defense hasn't been great, but they've had some injuries. Everybody has faith in Levitt, right?
Yeah.
It seems. Most people have faith in Levitt.
Yes.
But they're 75th. They need that same faith on the offensive side, and they don't have it.
No.
And they need to find it. And good program. Again, good programs don't go on the cheap. They realize that they're not that far off. You may have hired the guy that you really like. They're recruiting the crap out of things right now. You got an all-world class coming in, one of the best you've ever had. You have to capitalize. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no hemming and hawing. There's no cutting corners. There's no don't be cheap. Do it. If that's what Cristobal wants to do, and hopefully he'll see that, do it. And I think it will be a very interesting offseason. Wilcox, but mostly Leach. Watch and see what happens with those guys and their staffs. And if those guys bolt or their staffs change over or this or that, you are seeing a bad sign that those schools just aren't going to step up and help them continue their success.
Levitt, by the way, close to 1.7 a year on average over the length of the contract.
That's crazy. All right, we'll be back. Talk more about this. Text the Better You Today text line 55305. It is 352 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, running behind, per usual. It's Monday. But now we're getting all hot and bothered about, football things. Oregon, it's a good thing they didn't play anyone in the preseason, right? Because
no, they've been exposed.
This would look way worse if they had played anyone at all in the preseason. I think this would look way worse. It's viewed better because they're 6-4, but they had three patsies and
they didn't look necessarily great during those three games.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, so they probably would have lost one or two of them had they scheduled anybody. So like I said, this would look way worse if they, played someone in the preseason. I think they have the bones to be really good under Cristobal. I actually like Mario Cristobal, but think about it this way too. They take a knee against Stanford, they're 7-3.
Yeah.
And is that really all to get? I mean, I get that we're a little disappointed that perhaps that they didn't capitalize on the Washington win and where they were and sort of the college football. Well, really the Pac-12 race from that point moving forward, that's been disappointing, but they take a knee in that Stanford game. They're 7-3. So I actually like Cristobal, but the puzzle pieces don't all quite fit to make it hum the way it should. Right. And I'm looking squarely at offensive coordinator. I just think that Arroyo doesn't fit. And I think they're going to need to this offseason be really honest about sacrificing some recruiting for better X's and O's.
Yeah. And then the other one too.
So you agree with that?
I do. I've said it all along. I mean,
Yeah, you called it from day one.
I just didn't.
Questioning that.
I don't think that Cristobal is a guy that can build an offense. I think that's the reason why he left Alabama is to get a coordinator position next to him. And Alabama wasn't willing to give him one despite all of the turnover they've had at that position. And I don't think Arroyo was the answer. I thought last year they were uncreative and wasn't good enough. And I think they promoted him because he can recruit. And I think they didn't want to lose that. And clearly they can recruit. The classes they have coming in are unbelievable. You know, when you look at it on paper, but we've seen it. USC's classes are unbelievable on paper, but it hasn't led to anything. It hasn't led to wins. It's led to a very soft football team.
But do you think
team.
They have a head coach problem down at Oregon?
I don't. It's far too early to tell. I can't make that determination after a year. I think at USC, I think that was a program that was ready to go. And I don't think you need 4 years to figure it out. I do think that the talent level across the board, especially in the depth positions, I think really got depleted over the last handful of years at Oregon, and there wasn't enough difference makers. So I think, to be fair, I think Cristobal needs 3 years to try to rebuild this team in his image, because not only do you need more depth along both lines, which, by the way, is where you're losing right now. If you want to say what the biggest issue with this team is, and I would not have said this going into the season, your offense and defensive lines right now aren't very good, and they're not playing very good. They cannot run the football, and they can't stop the run. You just took a Utah team with a backup running back that had like 25 carries all year, and he ran for $175 on you, and you got exposed. You know, you're lucky that they were inept and couldn't score in the red zone. Six field goals. That game could have been a 40-point game had Utah been able to finish. If Utah had their quarterback and running back, I don't know what that looks like, but the defensive line right now is getting run on by everybody, and you can't open holes and you can't run the ball. Some of that, just if he wants to rebuild this in Alabama's image, he needs to bring in difference makers. And the Penei Sewells that he went and recruited, and the Jordan Scotts that he was part of, if you get another year or two of those guys coming in, then maybe you can win this way. Maybe you can win being this rugged, tough football team. Okay. And so just like I'm saying, like if you brought in a team that went from what Stanford, a coach, and he wanted to turn Stanford into a spread team, right? It would take a year or two. At least. And I feel like that's a little bit of what's happening in Oregon. So I can't say that there's a head coaching problem. I like Cristobal. He can recruit. Seems like he's a sharp guy. He's a charismatic guy. He's got people fired up. But ultimately, we won't know for a couple years.
So I want to read some texts when we get back about this. Some good ones coming in. 55305. But two things popped up. One, yes, how does Utah, without its quarterback and its star running back, drop 32? How does that happen? Like, this is what people are saying. They're
should
like,
have been 50.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, people are watching Oregon going, wait a minute, you have Herbert. And I know they have some offensive linemen down, and that's part of this. There's no question. But at the same time, Utah has two injuries to the two key guys on their offense, and they're still moving the ball like that. And that's what Oregon fans looking at going, well, wait a minute.
Yep.
That's a notoriously bad offense anyway, Utah. And they're down those two guys, and they're still moving the ball like that. Something doesn't add up with how Oregon's not moving the ball consistently with a quarterback like Herbert. And the other, and so we'll follow up on that. And the second thing is, if he wants to build this like Alabama, hasn't Alabama opened up their offense over the last 5, 6, 7 years?
Yes.
So it's, you're not going to build this whole smash mouth offense without being multidimensional. And they're not. They're so predictable. Yeah. They're not creative. It's just, I don't get the whole, we'll follow up on this too. I want your opinion. I don't get the whole Bama thing. I understand the Bama thing in terms of just the, you know, the
physical
in the trenches. Yeah, yeah, be tough, physical, run the ball. But Bama has totally opened up their offense. And Oregon doesn't see that if they're building, that.
And if you want like to, if you want to get to a bigger point, trying to recreate Alabama and Eugene, some of that is foolish.
All right, we got to go. All that stuff coming up next on The Fan.